They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was tired as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
And welcome to the Bills Show, ladies and gentlemen. And oh my gosh, you go away for a couple of weeks, so much happens. I open the door to the studio, and who would I see next to me but...
No, the Phantom.
The Phantom. Bill, it's good to see you again.
Look, I just had some, you know, there's just too much stupid shit happening. I had to respond.
Yeah,
let some of this venom out of me because I'm so pissed off at the world.
Yeah, well, as I said, you could always come back if you wanted to vent. And certainly we have quite a few things. We're going to touch on the two major stories that happened. Jesus, oh my God. The terrible, terrible airline disaster. But the first thing that we wanted to deal with, I think that was the reason that kind of both of us kind of said, you want to do a show, kind of a special show. The current Israeli push into Gaza, which has been, I've been watching it, and it's like a slow motion disaster, Bill. It just
the word horrific comes to mind.
Horrific slaughter. That's happening in Gaza right now.
Well, here's the thing that bothers me about it. Let's make it clear. I actually think both of us come down on the side that if you actually are occupying a territory and you choose to use a modern weaponized military against an unarmed, for the most part, civilian population, you can't stand on any ground of right and talk about war. This is not warfare.
Is murder.
I'm going to side with Noam Chomsky here. Let's use the right word. This is murder.
This is murder.
And we're supporting that.
And that is, and by the way, and before you start, don't even get near me on I'm an anti-Semite. I don't want to hear it. That is a blanket all, okay? What happened... And what happened during World War II and what happened during the genocide does not excuse this kind of behavior.
Well,
this is murder. And what you have turned Gaza into is an open-air prison. Now, not many people know about Gaza. I'm going to play a little thing for them. It's a detail on the atrocious conditions people live through in Gaza every day. Have a listen to this, Bill.
Gaza. Okay. With more than 1.7 million people living there, this tiny strip of land is one of the most densely populated areas in the world and one of the worst places to live. It's been called the world's largest open-air prison. Here's why. Gaza has been home to a majority refugee population since 1948, when Israel declared its statehood and forced hundreds of thousands of Palestinians out of their homes. Many fled to the Gaza Strip. For decades, Israel has controlled Gaza by air, land, and sea, regulating what goes in and what goes out. When the Palestinian party Hamas won parliamentary elections in 2006, Israel intensified its siege and collective punishment of the Palestinian people living there. That's because Israel considers Hamas a terrorist organization, even though to some Palestinians, it's a legitimate resistance movement. Israel's blockade of Gaza has been condemned by the UN as a violation of international law. It's cut off Palestinians from the rest of the world and made life in Gaza pretty unbearable. 80% of the population is dependent on aid. It's no surprise then that more than 50% of households lack enough food for their families. Water is also a huge problem, with more than 90% of Gaza's water unsafe for drinking. Water treatment plants need spare parts and fuel, both rare resources, to operate. Medicine and doctors are also in short supply, and only those with immediately life-threatening conditions are allowed to travel out of Gaza for healthcare, if they're lucky. It doesn't help that Egypt also keeps a very tight border with Gaza, heavily limiting who comes in and out. Infrastructure has also suffered. Basic items like cement, gravel, and steel are largely banned from entering Gaza. That's because Israel says they could be used to make weapons. So basically, Gaza can't build enough to keep up with its growing population. There are also frequent power outages due to fuel shortages for up to 12 hours a day. And Gaza's economy? It's paralyzed. Israel limits Gaza's exports to only one truckload of goods per day. Its unemployment rate is one of the highest in the world at nearly 40%. Israel has also launched several large attacks on Gaza. The thing is, with such a densely populated area, no one is safe. Israel says these operations are in response to the indiscriminate firing of rockets by armed Palestinian groups in Gaza. But many have pointed out that the effects of these attacks are disproportionate. The worst bombardment came during Israel's three-week-long offensive that began in December 2008 called Operation Cast Lead. More than 1,400 Palestinians were killed and thousands more were wounded. Much of Gaza's infrastructure was destroyed. Then in November 2012, an eight-day operation killed 133 people. One airstrike alone took out 12 people in one family, including five children. And the Israeli bombardments continue to this day. That's a glimpse of life in Gaza. And for a generation of young Palestinians who've never been able to leave, it's all they know. So the next time you see Gaza in the headlines, don't forget what you just heard.
I don't think many people actually have registered in their head how awful life is in this place that we just heard. You know,
well, you know, there's
fresh water, you know, education. It's terrible.
Look, this is something where I've actually primarily, and you've heard me multiple times, be a supporter of Israel in my life. I come back to the fact that while the only president that came from my hometown,
yes,
Harry Truman, was in power, he
recognized Israel.
And in so doing, it has we would have been far better off if we would have given them a part of a state in the United States of America. Doing what we've done has had a negative externality, as we talk about in a commerce economic.
Well, not as in a commerce. I mean, what really galls me is
well,
the fact that...
Well, excuse me, but this is about commerce.
Well, it
this
is about commerce, but
this
what I'm
is about weapon manufacturers making a bunch of money and having no blowback on themselves for selling the weapons.
Well, the only people that have actually the advanced weaponry is Israel. You know, I mean, when they call this a conflict, I love how the mainstream news, and yes, I'm talking to you, Diane Sawyer, I love how the mainstream news is there and tries to personify this as a war. It's not a friggin' war when the other side doesn't have an army or a navy or a command and control structure of any kind or any advanced weapons
or hospitals
whatsoever or hospitals. This is not a war. And I sit there and watch it from America. Well, we got to take both sides in because it's all equal. Hey, let's look at this scorecard, ladies and gentlemen. You know what it is now? 274 people in the Gaza Strip. Too many. 274 Palestinians are dead.
How you many know, Israelis?
Two.
Was there a second one?
I think there
I
was
didn't
a
hear
second,
about
one.
The second one. Well,
two.
Can I put a little more perspective
yes.
on that? Out of those 274, one in five are children.
Yeah.
So that means 20, 40, you know, almost 50.
Well, those
plus,
children, those
children
are obviously a threat to the state of Israel.
Well, that brings us to that part of the story where NBC had an actual
now,
rep.
This
there.
Is the thing that I, you and I talked to, and I think both of you, both him and I, absolutely fucking ripped at this because you are watching censored news. There are things in American news. We keep talking about freedom of the press in America. It doesn't fucking exist, guys.
Well, we have
it
a corporate doesn't. Media today, okay?
Yeah, it's so owned and operated.
If you want to see something different, you actually have to go to the internet usually, look up Al Jazeera or look up Democracy Now.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of voices telling the truth on the internet, and That upsets the mainstream news people.
It but, does. Well,
you know, but you kind of have a good feel-good story here though, because Brian
Williams actually recruited a guy. Now, this is the guy's name, Aman
Moyeldon.
Moyeldon. Okay, Aman Moyeldon has delivered some of the most fantastic coverage of what's happening in Gaza. And I sat there with my wife the other day. We were watching the NBC from the NBC News from overseas. And we were sitting there going, my God, this is extraordinary coverage, because it was showing what was happening in Gaza. I mean, you got a feel for what was happening in Gaza. The night
BBC and NBC did not
do it. But this guy was doing great work in Gaza and showing the actual results of what is happening in Gaza right now. And the night that I saw that on NBC News, let me give you a flavor. This is what was reported by him in Gaza.
To give you a sense of how a single explosion can affect an entire area, the round went through all four layers of that building into the ground floor, destroying it. But you can also see the power cables that have been affected. This obviously is going to have massive implications for the hundreds of people, the hundreds of homes that are in this neighborhood that are not going to be without power and electricity. Because Gaza has been under siege for several years, they simply don't either have the manpower or the resources to come in and fix something like this in the wake of an attack. Compound that by the fact that they are in the middle of a war, and you can see how the daily lives of Palestinians has been so negatively affected by what is now going on here.
Now, that is an extraordinary report, Bill. You don't hear that kind of detail about the result of what's happening on any other network, and NBC did it.
Well, look, by the way, I misspoke a minute ago. I was meaning to say CNN and the BBC.
Well, they don't do it.
Both CNN and BBC, if you went by their news reports, all the deaths were taking place in Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything that was wrong was taking place to the Israelis.
It was such a slant. You couldn't anything. But this guy came out with this report. Now, this report gained traction throughout the world as being an extraordinary report. His name, again, is Aman
Moyeldon. But let's also point out that he did several days of reporting on Gaza. And it was all great reporting.
Exceptional stuff. Guess what happened?
Turn everything into a joke?
Because it is a joke, man. It's the most cynical thing. This guy finally does some decent reporting from the Middle East. It's called journalism. And he's replaced. The night that I saw that report, the next day he was pulled from Gaza.
Well, wait a minute. Who made that decision?
The higher-ups. Listen, I have...
The higher-ups. You mean the upper management NBC overrode Brian Williams.
Brian Williams.
Pulled his guy out of the Gaza Strip.
Brian Williams was the guy who wanted this guy from Al Jazeera, because I happen to have some time for Brian Williams every now and then. And he's the guy who wanted a decent...
Suck up.
Yeah, no. He's a decent reporter on some areas. And I think that when this guy started doing journalism, the higher-ups went, oh, my God, we can't have that coming out of NBC. So basically what happened, well, let me explain. This is Glenn Greenwald. I have this on tape.
You have a clip.
I have a clip.
Let's hear it.
This is Glenn Greenwald talking to Democracy Now! About the removal of Aman Moyeldon at NBC.
Biggest or one of his biggest events in his journalism career, where he really made a huge impact on having the world understand what's happening in Gaza. They not only blocked him from appearing on the air to talk about it on NBC News, but then they told him to leave Gaza immediately. And when I interviewed NBC executives and the like, none of whom would talk to me on the record, but who talked to me on background and the like, they claimed that the reason they told him to leave was because they had security concerns, not specific to him, but just general ones about whether journalists could be safe with the imminent Israeli ground invasion. And yet, as you just said, later that day, they sent into Gaza not only Richard Engel, but also a producer who works for NBC, who had never been to Gaza, who doesn't speak Arabic, who doesn't know the area at all, in contrast to Ayman, who's been there for many years, who speaks fluent Arabic, and who's a very experienced war reporter. And so it raises very serious questions about what the real reason is that they told him over his objections that he had to leave.
One of the weapons of choice of the United States administration worldwide right now is the drone. And the story that Ayman was actually reporting on, he was actually on the beach with some young kids, and he actually stopped by and kicked around a soccer ball with them.
Yeah, that's what Glenn Greenwald's thing.
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah. And what's so interesting about this is that this was actually a drone. They tried to hit these kids, and they missed. Then they retargeted, and they got them using a drone that, you know, we use drones in the United States to kill.
Why would you target kids on a beach? Well, this is what I'm talking about, Israel. What the fuck's going on here?
There was somebody.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
There was somebody that was looking through that camera that saw those kids that missed, that retargeted and made sure they killed those four kids because obviously they're threats. They can throw rocks.
Oh God.
Okay. Now this really makes this even sicker because this is about us using drone technology. And let's be real here. I don't care who you think you are. You can't be the only ones with drones. Drone technology, there's nothing magic about this. People that are our enemies are going to be able to build drones. They've downed drones. They've looked at our designs. There's nothing magic about radio controlling a remote control aircraft. We've got a lot of hobbyists across the United States who do it all the time.
I think what's shocking about this entire situation is not so much the delivery vehicles of the devastation, but the fact that it's happening in plain sight, and anyone who dares to talk about it in the terms that it deserves to be talked about is immediately called E, anti-Semitic, or B, is taken off their news broadcast. I think that is something worth mentioning, certainly in our show.
Well, what I'll say is that there's a bit of a possibly, we may see some good news come out of this because I understand the young man has been reinstated and is being put back into Gaza.
Well, good decision. I hope that.
Okay, that's just happened.
Maybe so. Brian Williams was on the phone.
Well, possibly. And I
like to think that.
Good
I
on
like
you.
Brian Williams.
I'm glad you're such a positive guy because I'm a cynic.
And, you are a cynic. You are a cynic.
I believe that this is all about greed.
Oh, yeah. We've got more absolutely awful news that has come to hand while we've been away, but we're going to do a break right now. It's something maybe that you might...
Like drink? Can I, bourbon?
You can have a drink, and I'm gonna put this on for all of our peeps at home. We'll be back
Welcome
in a moment.
Welcome to the Whiskey Bar.
Tonight, Israeli tanks are positioned outside the entrances to Gaza, awaiting orders to invade as the aerial bombardments from both sides continues.
Mwah! Tastes great, more killing. Look, both sides are engaging in aerial bombardment, but one side appears to be bomb better at it. Most Hamas rockets are neutralized by Israel's Iron Dome technology, and Israeli citizens can even now download a warning app.
You'll get it on your phone, and you'll know exactly what city is being targeted and when it's being targeted.
Well, that's the $2.99 version. The free version... In the free version, you have to watch a clip of Transformers 4. And then, if you can get it off the screen, they'll tell you where the bomb is going. So Israelis seem to have a high-tech smartphone alert system. How are the Gazans notified?
Basically, a small mortar explosion on the roof of a building, which serves as an Israeli warning of an upcoming airstrike.
So the Israeli military warns Gaza residents of imminent bombing with a smaller warning bombing. An amuse boom, if you will. And then, at that point... what are Gazans supposed to do?
The Israeli military telephoned the neighbor to warn them to evacuate, but they only had 3 minutes...
Evacuate to where? Have you seen Gaza? It's this. Israel blocked this border. Egypt blocked this border. Well, they're supposed to swim for it? Perhaps nothing sums up the asymmetrical nature of this conflict more than a quick check-in with the correspondents assigned to the respective beats.
Tonight, we have the view from the ground on both sides, starting with Martin Fletcher in Tel Aviv.
The Gaza reporter looks like an extra from the Hurt Locker.
While the reporter in Israel looks like he's going to bang out his stand-up and then head to a Jimmy Buffett concert. They're a living political cartoon for the war in the Middle East.
Details continuing to pour in surrounding that mass tragedy in Ukraine. A passenger jet shot out of the sky with nearly 300 people on board. U.S. officials confirming in just the last 30 minutes that plane was definitely shot down, saying that they detected a missile guidance system in that area.
We're taking action for you tonight, covering every angle of this international disaster. Let's get right over to our Chris Trankman, tracking the very latest details of this story in the Breaking News Center for us tonight. Chris?
Jameson, people who have seen this horrific crash firsthand say it is heart-wrenching to see, with one witness describing it as a sea of dead bodies.
Just stunningly terrifying, but Bill, the media is saying that this is an example of a blowback on Putin's strategy of arming these rebels, and evidently Obama was actually on the phone to Putin about this topic and saying that you shouldn't arm these rebels, and then they did, and Putin should be to blame for this. What I'm not sure I buy that, but that's what's I think Putin, well, forget what I think. What do you think? What do you think caused this?
Well, I don't think what we really know yet, but what I would say is that we know that some people had some weapons and they thought they had the authority to use them. And they probably made a mistake. I think that they didn't mean to shoot down a civilian airliner, but
yeah,
they're also partially drunk.
They could be. Have you seen these guys, by the way, the rebels? Seriously, Putin, if you gave this kind of military technology to Gomer over there in the Ukraine, I mean, literally, come on, we've all seen the photos. We're not dealing with...
Listen, I don't want to...
Learn to walk erect this morning, for God's sake.
Yeah, but this entire thing that's happened in the Ukraine has happened on the U.S.'s watch. We've been working with our... mates in the EU to try to win Ukraine over to the EU side, which is the status quo, the debt machine.
But how does this connect to the airliner disaster?
Well, how this connects to the airliner disaster is that this, the root cause of the conflict in the Ukraine was the IMF and the World Bank wanting to get the Ukraine over into the EU NATO side, the NATO side of Europe,
and that's that's the reason of the friction. Because I mean, Putin, I had no time for Putin. Okay, Putin is a thug. He's a mafioso thug, and in giving those type of weapons to these fruitcakes, he's a fucking idiot. I don't think that it was a plot to bring down the airliner, but some idiot pressed the button. But the point is that the reason Putin is pissed off is because the World Bank has gone in there and has attempted to execute Ukraine into a high debt situation, and it was basically a slave of the West. Now, that's like...
Well, they were putting oligarchs in power.
Let me give you the comparison here. Let's suppose the United States dissolves and Florida, okay, Florida starts taking loans from the Soviet Union. You know, I mean, it is basically that. It's like Ukraine used to be Russia, and now after the breakup of the Soviet Union, America promised that it would not move in actively
and turn these people into NATO clients.
The
satellite countries.
Satellite countries, Poland, of the United States. Yeah.
Ukraine.
And we went back on that.
Satellite countries of the Soviet Union.
And we went back on that assurance to Gorbachev. We lied to them, and that brought about what you're seeing now.
You got to quit telling the truth about this stuff. They'll get pissed off at
us. I know. So the situation of the war that caused these guys to have this fucking technology is economic. It's the World Bank trying to put Ukraine into so much debt that it becomes a debtor nation. And a complete,
like the rest of us, like America, yes. Like the UK, all of... We don't have time for this on this show. Let's get back to the airplane.
The airplane.
And the fact that, you know, what has happened here? These people are all dead. There's no hope stories coming out of this. In fact, I understand the soldiers that have shot it down have been going and scrubbing the site clean. I think that we're faced with a situation that we're in a constant state of war now. That is a core tenet of neoliberal ideology. And when we look at the ideology that's driving this economic game, at what point do we admit that capitalism is no longer sustainable?
What you're seeing, basically, and what the longbow that both Bill and Bill, the other Bill and me, are trying to pull is the fact that what you're seeing, these violent problems that you're seeing around the world, are actually side effects from what we are viewing as economic policy and the destabilization of governments around the world for profit. And for power and control.
Profit is a side issue, actually, yeah. Bill.
When you see the Ukraine starting to break up into a civil war, this is all about dominance. This is all about the West trying to drag the Ukraine into its orbit, despite saying Russia, and Russia reacting violently. That's why we have the war in Ukraine. Isn't that right, Bill?
Well, I think that that's a contributing factor on a major scale, okay? But when we look at what's going on with neoliberalism around the world, it's not just the Ukraine. We're caring more about the Ukraine because they're somewhat white people. But there's a lot of conflicts going on in a lot of places,
Bill?
where a lot of brown people are getting killed.
No. Once you get the brown people getting killed, yeah, no. That's not a problem. That's a hobby.
Well, yes, the
U.S. in America,
the U.S., the U.K., and France is a triumvirate.
We love killing brown people.
Well, we're good at that.
White people,
no.
Yeah, we.
Hey, Bill,
brown people, no problem.
Let's admit what we're good at in the U.S. of A.
Yeah,
we're good at war.
Except
what we're.
What was it George Carlin said? He said that the only reason that we got mad with Hitler was because he was trying to play King of the World, and that's our fucking job. The only other time that we've ever bombed anything white people is when we bombed Hitler, and we were just pissed off because he was taking our job. Because our fucking job is to rule the world.
Well, I'll say this: a lot of people in the United States of America don't seem to be aware of what happened at the end of World War II, where we made a lot of promises, and we actually were allied with Russia in World War II,
yeah.
And we made them a lot of valid promises that we then did not keep.
We did. Now, that doesn't mean that, by the way, you're siding with Putin. No, we're not. Putin's an asshole. We hate Putin.
Dictator.
He's a thug dictator. Trust me, we're not.
But
we're not saying that it's United States is responsible for all evil in the world. I'm saying in this case.
Well, no. What I'd say in this case is that Putin was offering a better deal to Ukraine than the deal that they got from joining in with NATO and becoming a part of the EU. They're now in the same indebtedness. There's a small group of oligarchs, and we'd be talking about less than 50 people.
Isn't a chocolate manufacturer runs Ukraine now?
Yeah, he's worth $12 billion
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. He's a real man of the people. You know.
These oligarchs that we get behind, this is what we do in our foreign policy. We go put an oligarch in place that we can control.
Because we
have all the receipts.
And
we know exactly what
and we like them.
And
we like them. That's what really shits me about America sometimes. It's just the hypocrisy of it. The truth is, we like oligarchs. We like things like fascist governments. We like dictators. Those are our favorite people. We go on about freedom all the time, all the freedom and freedom. No. If you look at our foreign policy, we love us some oligarchs.
Well,
we love us some dictators.
What we love is we love people that we can manipulate and control easily. And we have the goods on most people from a lot of these small countries.
Yeah.
The U.S. has a very aggressive intelligence stance. And the hubris of it is really grown over time. we're running a national security state now. We're in a state of surveillance. If you haven't seen the Frontline bit on the United States of Surveillance, go look at it. One of the best pieces, heavily featured Glenn Greenwald. Worth seeing. Edward Snowden's in it.
So
one of the stars of it.
Absolutely. So listen, getting back just to wind up on the airline.
On the Ukraine.
What do you think? What do you think Obama should do? What should his reaction to Putin be now? If he was smart, what do you think he should do?
You know, I don't feel that anything he does is going to be criticized from one side or the other.
I think he's
in a real tough situation, but I think I'm glad I'm not him.
But you know, I think I said this one thing at when we were having breakfast together today. I sat there and said, "You know something? I've been very negative Obama, and I still am on a whole lot of stuff. But I'll tell you something: am I glad Obama's there and not Mitt Romney?"
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I mean, right now, who do you want in the front seat of the car?
I actually think on so many fronts, he's played calm and cool very, very well. And he's never, ever in this, five plus six year of presidency. So far, he has not ever turned into the angry black man. And the GOP is so pissed off because they really need that clip.
Because he's cool. And right now, you know, with the shithouse that the world is right now, I mean, you look at the Middle East. By the way, Middle East, thanks George Bush, you asshole. Syria, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, Israel,
but
Gaza.
We can't blame them.
George W.
Cheney
Bush.
And Bush.
You fuckhead. Look what you've done. Anyway, that's
they still think they're right, by the way.
Yeah.
Look,
don't start me.
This is
that,
a very, very sad event, and neither of us Bills are wanting to poke fun at it. We're disappointed in a foreign policy that's driven by neoliberal ideology, and we're going to have a lot more tragedies like this to come, like what's going on in Gaza to come, if we don't start thinking about what it is we're trying to do in the world. And we're basically supporting the coal, the oil, the gas industries, and we're going to war over that so that a few people can make a little bit more money. I'd rather live in a peaceful world.
And you do. Well, thanks for coming by today, Bill. It's good to see you again.
Look, really nice. Take it easy. It was nice to talk to you, folks.
Some sad stuff to talk about, but it was good to see our friend Bill. We'll be back with our tinfoil hat for this week, next on The Bill Show.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. You don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it? If 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority 49.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media, edited, organized, and mixed, only at bestoftheleft.com.
Very interesting. Up until then. Okay. All right, new rule, any fix for immigration must be bipartisan. Hillary Clinton must contribute all her unsold books to building a wall. And Democrats must allow ace goalie Tim Howard to set up on the border and keep out those kids. Swat them back one at a time. New rule, someone has to put a stop to those internet ads that cover an entire website and stay there until you manage to find and click that tiny little button. Hey. It's like trying to locate your computer's G-spot. I just hope this gimmick ends before it spreads to other media because, oh, for crying out loud, somebody click that, would you please? Sure, it went better in rehearsal. New rule, you can make a good case for cutting the balls off a cat, but you can't pretend it makes the cat cool. This is Scooter, the new mascot for neutering your cat. He's got sunglasses, a big gold necklace, and he's covered in fur. Oh, wait, that's not a cat. That's the Armenian guy who sold me my cell phone. Did I bring it back on?
You did, yeah. Okay. Oh, God.
New rule, stop saying Obama's handshake with the horse's head was his weirdest meeting of the week. That was the next day when he met with the horse's ass. New rule, now that 1 in 5 people in the UK admitted they would have sex with a robot, inflatable love dolls must stop looking so surprised. Makes you look surprised, babe. And order. Finally, new rule. Now that there's been an uproar over all the neocons who lied about the Iraq war with no consequences, someone must tell me why there isn't a similar uproar over all the Republicans who lied about Obamacare with no consequences. It's been 4 years. It's been 4 years since the bill passed. Has anybody come across even one death panel? The next liberal to tell a Republican, you're entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts, should really just admit they've never seen Fox News. Now, look, I get it that neither party has a monopoly on lying, and in fact, they all do it so often they've invented their own word for it. I misspoke. But how come the rule for one party, the Republican Party, is that when they get caught in a lie, they don't have to stop telling it? They said Obamacare would use death panels. It doesn't. They said it was a government takeover, and the insurance industry, is making record profits. They said it covered illegals. It doesn't. They said it was a job killer. It hasn't been. They said there were elves who baked cookies in trees. Well, almost. Now, for sure, Obama also told a lie when he said everybody who likes their health care plan can keep it. And for about 2% of the population, that did turn out to be false. The difference is he stopped saying it. He stepped up and said, you're right, my bad, because he understands there's this thing called observable reality. But on the Republican side, observable reality needs more study. Which is why their talking points that have been disproven remain. Like a guest who's been asked to leave a party but does not. It reminds me of a horror movie where you think you've killed the lie, but it won't stay dead. Which is why I call them zombie lies. Ooh. Ooh, what an effect. I have a weak heart. Yes, zombie lies. Remember fracking doesn't cause earthquakes? Zombie lie, so stop saying it. Voter fraud? We studied it. It's not an actual problem. Stop zombie lying about it. Their entire economic philosophy, cut taxes for the rich and it trickles down, is a zombie lie. And all these zombie lies... all these zombie lies are still out there roaming the countryside, neither alive nor dead, like Dick Cheney. Hungry for brains, like Dick Cheney. I mean, we think we've eradicated one, but it turns out it's just lying dormant in a cave full of bat blood, like the Ebola virus, or Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, who did not even bother in his recent return from the dead to update the lies he told about Iraq the first time. He's still out there saying, well, Saddam was building a bomb and he was working with Al-Qaeda. What? It's like when Chuck Berry sings Sweet Little 16. You're 90, man. Now, there is no shame in their game. One week, they're out there saying, no one will sign up for Obamacare. And the next week, oh, okay, they signed up? Sure, okay, but they aren't paying the premiums. Oh, they are? Okay. Well, they're paying, but it's not the young people. Oh, it is? It's the young people? Okay. But it only covers you if you're gay. You know, you just want to go, wait, when did we switch over? What happened to yesterday's lie? It's still out there forever, like a plastic bag in a tree. But now we're just using the new one? Yes, because what they do is they pass a zombie lie down to dumber and dumber people who believe it more and more. Hank Paulson may be over the one about climate change being a hoax, but it's still good enough for Sean Hannity, who then gets quoted by Michelle Bachmann, who forms the intellectual core of the thinking of Victoria Jackson. And when you think the zombie lie has finally gone to die at the idea hospice of the absolutely stupidest people on Earth, there it is being retweeted by Donald Trump. All right, that's our show. I'll be at the War Memorial Auditorium in Greensboro, North Carolina, tomorrow, July 12th.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that news and commentary that I listen to because I hate my own head. Of course, I'm talking about our tinfoil hats segment today. And first off the block of tinfoil hats today. Yes, I'm talking about the Yellow Rose of Texas. That's right, Representative Steve Stockman. Yeah, he's crazy. In fact, he made an interesting comparison of the children that are arriving at the border. Yes, children under the ages of 15, 16, 17. You have children arriving at the border by the thousands. Now, Steve Stockman made a rather unfortunate comparison of these children, and here it is in all its glory. Representative Steve Stockman, go for it, Steve.
Well, now that you're back in D.C., how is Congress going to protect American towns from what's essentially an illegal invasion?
There are more people coming across the border than those that we sent in an invasion of France. Let me say that again. There are more people coming across the border than invaded France in World War II. That is an invasion of our nation, and most of them are coming across into Texas. They came as an invasion in this nation when Obama declared permission that would be granted under what was called the DREAM Act. The DREAM Act basically said, if you're here, we'll allow your citizenship. Now, when it got down to Central America, they misinterpreted that, and they realized, the drug smugglers realized, if they grab these kids, in some cases it seems like kidnapping, especially after what I saw firsthand, where a little girl was crying, saying she wanted to go home. They took action, and they sent them north, and they're sending them north primarily on the promise of the DREAM Act. And you can look at the numbers. As soon as President Obama announces the DREAM Act, the numbers shoot through the roof of illegal immigrants.
So you don't think these are refugees in the sense that they're running from something? You think they're running towards?
No, there's more cities have a higher murder rate than Guatemala in the United States. Does that mean we're going to get refugees from Chicago?
Yeah, whenever I'm looking for dumbass, I always look at East Texas. Sorry, I'm sorry. It just works out that way. The valid comparison, making a valid comparison. Yeah, there are about as many people landing across the border right now than there was at Normandy. The difference is the guys doing it now, all they have is acne. Yeah. Between the ages of 5 and 16, a majority of them. Steve. They don't have guns, they don't have mortars, they don't have bazookas. Paraphrasing or using something hostile like an invasion or comparing them with people who have guns, automatic weapons, and explosives storming the shores during a war? Are you a fucking moron? Oh, wait a minute. Yes, you are. You want people to view them as that. You want to demonize these kids. You know something? Whenever I hear this, and by the way, he says there's absolutely no reason why these people would run. So I ran into a little kid and he wanted to go home. Now, the DREAM Act may have had something to do with them thinking about coming to the United States. But you know what? There are reasons they're coming to the United States. And when he sits there, he goes, oh, this kid wanted to go home. Let me tell you about where they're from, okay? You didn't manage to go through that. Let's look at Honduras, which is where a majority of these people are coming from. El Salvador, Honduras. These are failed states. These are failed states because of the war on drugs. Because of the war on drugs. Honduras is the country with the highest murder rate in the world. 169 in the capital city, 169 out of every 100,000 people in the major city in Honduras are dead because they're murdered. Okay? It's absolutely insane. In 2008, it got so bad that the refrigerated morgue in the capital city in Honduras, the refrigerated morgue was so full, they had to rent refrigerated trucks from a supermarket to hold the dead. That was in San Pedros in 2008. The prisons don't even bother to rehabilitate people anymore, Steve. They're all controlled by the gangs, as is the government. Yes, the government is really nothing more than a bunch of narco gangs. This came out of The Guardian. The vast majority of the child migrants come from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, all struggling with levels of violence that really are tantamount to an undeclared regional war. Honduras has a murder rate of 90 per 100,000, as I said. Mexico's hovers around 20. In the U.S., it's 5. Heavily armed gangs, street gangs, impose a reign of terror on neighborhoods across the region, which is also a key route for Mexican and Colombian cartels shipping narcotics north. Some of these kids are basically coming across the border, and this is the stories we're hearing from a lot of these kids. These are kids that at 7 years old are forced or told to join a street gang, and if they don't, they are killed. Steve, I wouldn't expect you to have any compassion in your heart. You know why I don't expect Steve to have any compassion in his heart? Because I looked up Steve Stockman. Yeah, that's right. I just said, what kind of guy has absolutely no compassion in his heart for children who are running from murder alone, going across a desert, literally coming there thirsty because they have nothing? And then I figured it out. Steve, I'll lay money. You're a born-again Christian, aren't you? Aren't you, Steve? And then I looked up Steve-O. I looked up Steve-O on Wikipedia, and sure enough, I won a Cupid doll. Steve evidently had a hard time. Steve evidently had a really hard time when he was growing up. Steve-O, he didn't have to avoid narco street gangs in growing up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, where he graduated from Dondero High School in Royal Oak, and from 1985 to 1986, attended San Juanito College, but dropped out because he suffered from what he called partying syndrome. So let me get this straight, Steve. These poor kids who are, you know, 16, 17, they're dodging bullets, and you're running around San Juanito College going, party, dudes! In fact, in 1977, Steve, you were kind of busy in your own kind of narco-terrorism. Yes, you were. When he was 20, police officers found Valium in his possession after a girlfriend allegedly hid the substance in his clothes. He was charged with felony possession of a controlled substance. Later, the charges were dropped, but sure enough, he found the Lord. Yes, he did. A born-again Christian. You know, when I hear this intolerant, absolute, when I hear this intolerant, nasty, venal, mean shit, I always sit there and go, Yeah, he's a Christer. And this is not against Christianity. That's that, I'm talking that real redneck, right-wing, born-again shit. And I'm practically never wrong. Look, in 1990, he earned a bachelor's degree in accounting. Why did I know this? He's an accountant. Of course he is. From the University of Houston and Clear Oak. And he became a computer salesman. And he bummed around. He has been bumming around Republican Party politics for a very, very long time. And he has been saying a lot of things, which are really, once you research Steve Stockman, you remember, you find out that Steve Stockman is really kind of like a fart for hire. I am not kidding you. Here's some of the shit that Steve Stockman has said since he's been a congressman. And there is like a collection of Steve Stockman shit. I stumbled upon the tinfoil hat gold mine. So Steve Stockman, this is your
history of shit.
Yes, Steve, you are the person that's going to start off our brand new segment, History of Shit. Okay, let's have a look at what Steve-O's been up to. Let's have a look at what his Twitter account has been going on while he's been in Congress. Stockman's Twitter account showed off the congressman's newest bumper sticker, which simply said, "If babies had guns, they wouldn't be aborted." No, I'm not. I'm not shitting you. That was his bumper sticker. The tweet came at the height of the controversy surrounding the criminal trial of Kermit Gosnell's unsanitary and unexpected late-term abortion clinic. What does Phyllis Wester... Okay, the next one is during Stockman's term in Congress in the 1990s, believe it or not, he went after the Kinsey Report, the mid-20th century work by biologist Alfred Kinsey, which chronicled human sexuality. Well, Steve doesn't like sex. Stockman introduced a bill trying to get the federal government to defund any programs based on Kinsey's work, which is the basis for all sex education. Jesus Christ. In November, when the initial enrollment of numbers for Obamacare was released, Stockman went on the Twitter offensive, mocking the poor take-up of Obamacare, which, by the way, since it's turned around, making everybody who hated Obamacare look like idiots, but Steve-O said something idiotic right from the get-go. It said, "About 110,000 people contract chlamydia each month. More than signed up for Obamacare. Obamacare is less popular than chlamydia." This guy's such a class act. What a Texas, really. He's a douchebag. In the aftermath of the 1993... Oh, this is brilliant. In the aftermath of the 1993 siege of the Branch Davidian cult in Waco, Texas, Stockman accused the Clinton administration, get this, of executing the cult members who died as a part of an effort to prove the need for a ban on assault weapons. Oh my God, that's just absolutely insane. In addition, the first term Texas congressman in 1990 said, had Bill Clinton really been unhappy with what General Janet Reno ordered, he would not have only fired her, he would have had Reno indicted for premeditated murder. Yes, the Branch Davidian cult siege was a black flag operation to justify gun control. Oh my God, this guy is absolute prize. I'm reading this. What does the filibuster reform have in common with the death of Jesus Christ? Oh no, please, it didn't. Quite a bit, according to Stockman, on November 21st. Of last year, the Texas congressman offered his own take on the Wall Street tweet calling up for a yes and up and down vote on nominations. Give us Barabbas. If you've got a majority of folks who believe in something, then it should be able to pass. This was a reference to Barabbas, the prisoner of the crowd, who the crowd chose to release instead of Jesus in the New Testament. Yeah. Yes, man. Not only that, this is one of the guys. This is one of the guys. Stockman is one of the guys who voted against any form of gun control after Sandy Hook. Yes, Steve Stockman, this has been your
History of Shit.
And that's also going to be our show for the week. Want to thank my dear friend Bill, who did the show with me for two straight years, for coming back. He's going to do the occasional show from now on, but it was great to have his take on a very tragic week this week. So I want to thank that. Brandy will be back next week, ladies and gentlemen, or in the next 2 weeks, where we will again get together and comment on what's going on in the world right here on The Bill Show. If you want to reach us, you can reach us on The Bill Show on xpr@gmail.com. You can listen to us on Stitcher Radio. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can also reach us on at expatprogressive.podbean.com. That's expatprogressive.podbean.com, where there is a donation button and you can donate to this podcast. If you like us, let us know and send us an email. Until next time, have a great couple weeks of America. We love you. Bye-bye.
Drive them away.